After some time off, traveling with family and celebrating Christmas, it's good to be back with you. I hope that you had a good celebration of Christmas. We as followers of Christ believe that His coming into our world brings hope, peace, joy, and love. And I hope that that was true for you this year as well. But even if your celebrations were with family were hard, whether by strained relationships or non-acceptance, or even if your family is non-existent in your own life, for whatever reason, I hope that you know that your family here at River Road loves you, supports you, is glad you're here today. Today is a big Sunday in the church. No, it's not back to work, back to reality Sunday, as I've heard it often referred to. Today is Epiphany Sunday. Like Easter and Pentecost, Epiphany isn't a day, but rather a season. It follows Christmastide and ends the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, which begins Lent. Epiphany always occurs on January 6th and is usually celebrated in worship the Sunday preceding that. You may be aware that the word Epiphany comes from a Greek word meaning manifestation or appearance. The Epiphany of Christ, we believe, celebrates His manifestation to the peoples of the world. And during Epiphany, the biblical emphases, as you can imagine, are those gospel stories which reveal or manifest the nature of Christ and His ministry. And most churches, on Epiphany Sunday, they read the story of the wise men, the magi, those visitors from the east, which come to see the Christ child at home and bring Him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. I've preached that story before, the visitation of the Magi. I've preached it many times on Epiphany Sunday, most Epiphany Sundays, actually. It's an incredibly rich story in its lessons and applications, and I just love it. But I'm not going to preach on that today. I probably will next year. But today the lectionary offers this rather interesting passage from Ephesians. And after reading it closely last week, it just wouldn't let me go. So while it may be unconventional to preach from Ephesians on Epiphany Sunday, it sort of works for me. So let's take a closer look. First of all, this is a rather mysterious passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul admits as much because, in fact, in just three verses, he uses the word mystery three different times. So just what is Paul calling a mystery? It seems to me that Paul is speaking about the mystery of Christ and the mystery of his own calling. It's almost as if he's had an epiphany about ministry, his own ministry, and it sounds to me like he's sort of working it out, almost thinking out loud here. The mystery Paul speaks about is both general and specific. It's general in that the mystery of Christ, as Paul puts it, is that the gospel message is not just for some people, but for all people. Not just for Jews, not just for the faithful, not just for a specific set of people, but for all people. And as I say, it's also specific. For this mystery gets personal for Paul. He tells us that it is wonderfully mysterious, not that he chose to be an ambassador for Christ, not that he found Jesus, not that he came to a great epiphany about the faith. No, the mystery is that God chose him, that God found him, that God came to him. He writes, "Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me." Paul admits there may have been a million better choices, but somehow, mysteriously, God chose him. What does all this have to do with Epiphany Sunday? Well, a lot, I believe. We have our own epiphanies about our faith and our own ministry when we realize not that we have found God, but that God has found us. That all along, God has been pursuing us lovingly, relentlessly, and that God will stop at nothing until we are safe and at home. We don't save ourselves, God saves us. We don't choose ministry, ministry chooses us. Now, to be sure, we have to accept faith and ourselves. We have to receive the gift of salvation. But because of God's grace, faith and salvation find us rather than the other way around. This divine mystery that Paul speaks about is not so much that we find God, but that God finds us. See, friends, I believe our own epiphanies of faith are not due to some stroke of genius on our own parts, but rather much more of a surrender. And you know, we don't talk a lot about surrender in church these days. We used to, didn't we? Perhaps you've heard about surrendering to salvation, or surrendering to the faith, or even surrendering to one's own call to ministry. But these days we don't talk a lot about that. No, these days when we talk about surrender, it's often about our own mistakes or failures. But according to Paul and according to the gospel, surrender is not the same as failing. It's not about losing or giving up. Rather than being about failure, surrendering is about giving ourselves over to that which we've already been called to. I love how James McTyre puts it. Surrender is when we stop seeking to solve mysteries and allow those mysteries to solve us. And that right there, that truth, really resonates with me. Because my own call to ministry could be described as a mysterious journey of surrender as well. See, many of you know that my father and stepmother are both pastors. What you may not know is that one of my grandfathers was a pastor, the other was a seminary professor. In fact, this pastoral stole was my grandfather's, cross-stitched by my grandmother. In addition to them, four uncles and one aunt were ministers. One cousin is a pastor, another is a military chaplain. I guess you could say that ministry is the Glaze family business. And growing up, I just assumed that ministry was something that I would pursue. I mean, it was in my blood, after all. What I didn't realize is that somewhere along the way, ministry would pursue me too. And this is something that, if I'm honest and if I'm going to be vulnerable for a minute, I've really struggled with this for a long time. Because it took me a long time, church, of wondering whether I was truly called to ministry or whether I was just doing what was expected of me. Do you know what I mean? And what's more, many ministers can point to this sudden moment, this experience, this sudden feeling, an Emmaus Road moment, when they knew without a shadow of a doubt that God had called them to ministry. And I can't say that I've ever had such a moment. Because if being called to ministry means that I climbed a mountaintop and heard the audible voice of God saying, "Daniel, I want you to be a pastor," then I'm not called, because I haven't had that. But see, my own epiphany about ministry was that God did in fact call me, but chose to do so indirectly, let's say, through other people, through my church, through my community. And that calling was no less real. Ministers who gave me leadership opportunities, WMU ladies who said, "Son, I think you ought to be a preacher." People who looked at me and said, "I believe you have gifts for service to Christ." And as I say, that calling, I believe, is valid and real as any other. Next week in worship, we will join our hearts together and place our hands upon three persons, ordaining them to deacon ministry: Cindy Mastretta, Bill Ranson, and Paul Thompson. We will do this because, not because these persons are more spiritual than the rest of us are, not because they are some super saints within the church. Their families could probably tell you that. We do this because we as a church have been given an epiphany about their ministry, about their desire to serve God by serving God's children inside these walls and outside these walls as well. We ordained them not because they chose deacon ministry for themselves, but because God chose it for them. And we simply had the good sense, the epiphany, if you will, to recognize that. So, again, friends, the mystery of ministry, to use Paul's words, it's not so much about figuring out our career paths or choosing what we want to do with our lives. We come to an epiphany about ministry when we realize that sometimes God's call comes to us and grabs hold of us despite the best laid plans for our lives. Because, church, here's what I believe. I believe that faith begins by listening to the voice of God, Faith is about listening to the voice of God that is all around us. And it's about trusting God, sometimes through the voices of this family of faith known as River Road Church. And that voice reveals that which God wants us to give our lives to and our hearts to and give our best effort as a church to. Because this is our mission. This is our calling. Indeed, church, this is who we are. Amen.